34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. And what does God taste like? And what does God smell like? Okay? All right, so y'all talk amongst yourselves for a minute. You can do it out loud, I think. It's okay. It's echo. Oh, you didn't get it. I'll just talk while they're talking. It's okay. I botched it anyway. While y'all are talking, I'm going to pass these around. Just pass them around the circle. Just take one. Keep it. Take one. Pass it around. Yeah, don't eat it, Jaquan. Y'all need another minute, or are we good? Okay. All right, the right side's got it all figured out. Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start reading Psalm 23, and when you catch up, we'll be good. All right, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest shadow, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, a very familiar passage. Okay, I felt kind of funny reading it and not just quoting it. But anyway, it's different from what I had memorized. Okay. All right, so left side, okay. All right, the Lord is my shepherd, okay? I lack nothing, okay? So what is the picture that comes to mind? About the chapter, the verse, whatever. What? Okay, a guy with some sheep, okay? All right? But what do we always see, okay? If you Google search, or I like to good search, helping in hands, but if you search, okay, online and you type in Psalm 23, okay, what's going to pop up? The scripture, very good. Okay, sorry. If you image search, okay, Psalm 23 for pictures. Okay, what's gonna show up? The scripture, okay? But what's the picture that's going to be with that scripture? Okay? Okay, the sheep, okay? They're a man with a staff, okay? But these sheep, okay? But where are these sheep? Okay, in the pasture, okay? In the green pasture, okay? So picture, blew it. Just kidding. Okay, all right. So picture something like this, right? Okay? A nice, beautiful, okay, green pasture. All these beautiful sheep somewhere in Ireland, Scotland. Where do they do sheep? I don't know. Anyway. And so, so you have this beautiful picture, okay, of God leading us in green pastures, okay? Now, what is the emotion? What is it that you feel, or what can you take away from a picture like this and God providing something for us like this? Okay, comfort, security, peace. What else? Anything else? Okay. Lush and lavish, okay. All right, and so when you think about Psalm 23, okay, we use it as, okay, when things get tough, okay, I can go here and I know that God is going to put me in this place of peace, this place of comfort, this place where I can have all that I need, okay? And that's comforting to us, okay? And so that's one, I guess, viewport that we look at. And the things that we take from that are not wrong. And they are helpful and they are good, okay? But I think sometimes it can be misleading, okay? Because if you think about life, okay, is our life typically, okay, more like this or something like this? Okay, which one, the first or the second? Okay. Okay, typically, okay, our pastures are not so green. Typically, we don't have everything that we need. Not everything's going right. It's not peaceful. It's not comforting. It's not calm, okay? Life is chaos. It's just the way it is. If you like the way things are going, don't worry. They're going to get worse. If they're bad, don't worry. They're going to get good. That's just the way life is, okay? But God can help us find ways that we can battle the waves in our life, okay? Now, I want to show a video, okay? But if you were to ask a Jew, okay, when you talk about Psalm 23, what's the picture that comes to your mind, okay? They would say this. This is green pastures, okay? So when David was writing Psalm 23, this is the picture that was in his mind, okay? All right, now I want to show this video clip, and then we'll talk about the differences that they bring in the two.
As part of a shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that will maybe surprise you a bit. Believe it or not, this is called wilderness, Midbar, but it's also called green pastures. Now, when you take a Westerner here the first time and you look at this, you find people say, well, I don't know that I can go there, because the Psalm 23, the Lord leads me into green pastures, has been pictured as belly deep alfalfa. Well, you haven't seen any belly deep alfalfa. And from biblical time to today, it's rare to see a flock in the farm country. There isn't a lot of farm country in this culture, and so farmers kept the shepherds out as much as they could. Maybe they would come in a little bit after the harvest to glean what was left, but you don't want sheep where you can farm. This is the land of the shepherd. Right on the hillside across from us, you can see those grazing trails, cut there by sheep maybe as long ago as Abraham's time. They're spaced so that an animal on one path and an animal on another can reach right to the middle between them. That determines the distance, so you can graze an entire hillside. And the shepherds lead their sheep across that hillside slowly, grazing what's there. Now, you look at it from here and you say, what's there? In fact, I remember my first impression. I woke up one morning, I was sleeping out in the wilderness, and I remember waking up watching a flock of sheep on a hillside like this, and my feeling was, what are those, rock-eating sheep? I mean, what do they eat? How can you call this green pastures? Well, the answer is there's a small amount of moisture present here. They get a little bit of rain every year. Not much, but a little. Second, there is humidity in the air, especially in the evening breeze. Like right now, you can feel it coming from the west off the Mediterranean. There's moisture in the air. That moisture, combination of the rain and the humidity, condenses or drips along the edge of these rocks here. And if you notice, right around the rocks, almost always next to the rocks, you get little tufts of green. Get one a moment. That's what we refer to as the green pastures. So the shepherd looks for a hillside. That's exactly what she was doing. Look at that flock across from us there. Just stunning. Those two shepherd girls have found a hillside that either was exposed to the wind or had that small amount of rain. And they move that flock across the hillside, and it's one mouthful here, walk a step or two, another mouthful, another mouthful, another mouthful. Now,
okay. So now that you've seen that, okay, what's your reaction? Okay. What does that do? Do what? Okay, you don't want to live there. Okay. All right. But if that's the picture, okay, of Psalm 23, okay, I'm not wanting to drop dynamite on your picture, okay? Your picture's still good, okay? Okay, but how does that change the way you view God as a shepherd? Okay, it's a lot tougher, right? Okay. Okay? And I think that's the rub. Okay? When things get tough and when things get bad, okay, we want to ask God, okay, for the left. Because I'm already on the right. I don't want the left. I'm tired of having to scrape for every single inch of emotion and everything that I've got. God, I need you to pull me out of this and plunk me down in a foot full of grass where I can just sit and hang tight and just eat as much as I want and be fine for the rest of my life. Okay? And a lot of people get, myself included, we get, I think, mad at God when things are more like they are on the right than on the left. We feel like they should be like it is on the left. We should have that grass. We should have this peace. We should have these things, okay? But God never promises that to us. But what God does promise is, He says, there's going to be enough grass and enough green pasture for you to take the next step. He's going to give us what He needs, and we're going to have what we need if we follow Him as the shepherd. And I think that's why we miss out on the dependence on God. We struggle with depending on God for everything. It's because in America, it's very hard to find a place like it is on the right. Everybody, even the poorest of the poor, have basically all the grass that they could ever need in some ways comparatively to other people in the world. And so it's hard for us to try to let go and depend on God for things, okay? But God, almost all the pictures of God are pictures of the desert. And the reason for that is because it has to drive you to where you have to know, and you have to know that God is going to give you everything you need for that next step. You have to depend on God to survive. And that's where God wants us to be. But it's hard for us to get there. Because honestly, I don't know if we want to go there. Because to get to that place, you've almost got to hit rock bottom. And until you have, you can't realize that I really do depend on God for everything. And so that's the picture that I want us to take away from Psalm 23 and this green pasture is, God gives us exactly what we need. But if we're going to depend on Him, it's going to be one step right after another. Okay, the Rabbi Akiba said, worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. Okay, worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. Okay, are those sheep worried about anything when they're up there? Okay, well, you say no because they don't think, okay? But, okay, they're not worried because of what? At this moment, they have a piece of grass in their mouth. Okay, in 15 minutes, who do they have? the shepherd. They're not worried because they're with the shepherd. They don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day because they're not given that. Now, we don't like to think that way, to think that, well, I can't be ready for tomorrow or be ready for anything. But, you know, heaven forbid, what if we drive out of here and, you know, a Mack truck comes down the road and we didn't see it? Okay, you can't prepare for that kind of stuff. Or if somebody gets sick, there's certain things that we can't control. And so we have to learn that we need to let go of these things because God is going to give us what we need for today. And if we worry about tomorrow, we're not going to have what we need because we haven't been given that pasture yet. So wait on God for that pasture. Okay. All right, the middle group. Okay, 2 Samuel 22. Okay, the key that I wanted to focus in on, okay? All right, when things get tough and when things get rocky, okay, we've got this path, okay? Sometimes in life the path is smooth, okay? But then a lot of times, okay, we feel like we're going straight up a cliff or things are crazy. And okay, what do you ask for when the way gets rough and when things get, the rough gets, I don't even know how to say it. I'm struggling. Okay, what is it that comes to mind? What do you ask for? Okay, take it away. Okay? And sometimes God does that. Sometimes God does take those situations and take us out and put us in that place of calm. Okay? But more often than not, okay, God says, and this is actually in Samuel, Psalms, and Habakkuk, but verse 33, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. Okay, I want you to watch this. Okay, this is some video from when we went to Alaska. Good night. How many years ago was that? Six? Okay. All right, so you can, it's okay to say aw. But anyway, it's these little mountain goats, okay? All right, so these little babies, okay, are climbing, okay, all over these cliffs. All right, it looks kind of like they have like suction cups on their feet or something. I don't know how they do it, okay? But it's this incredible thing of look at that path, and they're just walking on it like it's no big deal. It's just part of life, okay? And so God says, or David, when he wrote it, says, God gives me the feet like a deer, okay? Okay? So instead, when times got rough for David, and times got rough for David a lot, he said, you know, God doesn't always take me out, but instead God gives me the feet like a deer. When those paths get rough and those things get tough, God, give me the foresight, give me the strength to have those feet that I can manage the path. And so David said, don't take it out of me, but help it to where I can take care of that path. And so this is the deer that probably David was thinking of. Some say this. Some say it was the ibex. Okay? But look at this, okay? So these antelope, these deer, this is a dam in Israel. Okay? These things are walking across that thing. Okay? And this is what David says God can do for us. He says, if your life, okay, throws you a path like this, God is going to give you the feet of the deer to handle that path. Okay, and that's a scary thing, okay, to think that God could put us in a place to where we could walk on a path like that. Okay, but what would it take, okay, if I'm by myself, there's no way in the world I'm going to walk across that thing, okay? But I think that's what we never think about. We look at it as, there is no way I'm going to walk across this thing. This thing in my life, God, get rid of it. I can't handle it. And God says, yes, you can, because you have me. Okay? I've asked for this before when times got rough, and I'll just be completely honest. I chickened out. I felt like he was giving me the path and I could see the way that I had to go, and I didn't take it because I chickened out. So if you pray for God that he's going to give you the feet of the deer, okay, truthfully, I'll tell you, he will give it to you. But learn from me and take it. Trust that he's going to let you do it. Okay? So instead of saying, God, take it away, say, God, give me the feet so that I can handle this. All right, now, the good stuff, okay? All right, let's see if I can find it. All right. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, so ask the question, okay? What does God taste like? Okay, we'll come to that one second, okay? What does God smell like? Okay? Now, that probably sounds like I'm, you know, saying something bad, okay? I'm not, okay? I'm just saying this is how Jews think, okay? They think concretely, okay? It's something that they, in real life, that they can attach themselves to, some situation, something that they see, feel, touch, and they can connect with God, okay? To make God real, okay? So, so what does God smell like? Any ideas? Rose? Jesus, Rose of Sharon. That's what I was thinking when you said that. Okay, what else? Bread? Yeah, the bread of life. Okay. I'm just connecting with you. That's good. What else? What does God smell like? Better than Jaquan. Okay, any more ideas? Okay, the rabbis taught that when the Jews are doing their sacrifices in and out every day, okay, they'd be throwing all these animals onto the altar, and so that meat would be cooking and those aromas would be coming out, and they connected that smell, okay, with the meat being sacrificed on the altar to the presence of God, okay, and so God's presence, okay, was the smell of a barbecue, all right. So when they smell that, okay, the next time that you smell that, you can say, God's here, okay? Now that sounds really weird and funny to us, okay, to say that if I smell this smell, that means God's here, okay? That seems crazy to us. But think about it the next time. You're going to do it and you go, that moron. And then you're going to say, you know what? He might be right. Okay, it brings us to an awareness, okay? These things in life that I think God can be reaching out to us that if we just never are still enough to see, we miss it, okay? All right, now, so that's what God smells like. Okay, now, what does God taste like? All right. Okay, the honey bear, okay? All right. Psalm 119. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay? All right, now. This is actually what Jim would have seen if he was looking from the other side, okay? But I'd have given away my secret, all right? So, all right, there were two honey bears back there. Y'all didn't see it, see? Should have looked at the different perspective, okay? All right, I'm going to pass these around, okay? That's what the wax papers are for, okay? And pass these around. I want you to put as much as you want. I'm not going to police you, okay? All right, on that wax paper, okay? All right, I'm going to try to talk about some other things while we're doing this. I should have done it a while ago, okay? But what does God taste like? He tastes like honey, okay? The drippings of a honeycomb. All right? Probably should have done this earlier. Anyway, okay. So I'll give you all a second to pass those around. All right, now, so what they do, okay, in the Jewish tradition, okay, when a boys and girls get ready for preschool, okay, they get ready for school, okay, and the purpose of elementary school, okay, at least in the region where Jesus grew up was, the purpose of elementary school was to memorize, okay, the first five books of the Old Testament, okay, the Torah, okay, the books of the law, okay, not Genesis, not the names of the books, okay, but to memorize the actual books themselves word for word. That was the purpose of school, okay, just like our schools, right? Okay. All right, so on the very first day of class, okay, all those little kindergartners come in. Also, parents of little kids, I think it's something about if they're under a year, don't do it, but you probably know that anyway. All right, so anyway, okay. So the honey, don't eat it yet. Guys, come on. Okay, so didn't say that, okay? So what they'll do is, okay, all these little kids, okay, these little kindergartners will be sitting there doing their little kindergarten things, okay? And then the rabbi walks in, okay? And their eyes get all big, okay? And the rabbi, okay, he takes out wax papers, all right? And he passes them out to all the kids, and he puts them on top of the Torah, okay? And then he squirts some honey onto that little wax paper, okay? And then he says, take your little finger and dip it in the honey and eat it, okay? And then he says, and that's what God tastes like. Don't ever forget it, okay? And so from the very first, when they first get their first look at the Bible, they connect with them. This is how sweet God is. This is how sweet His Word is, okay? And we think about that, and like, oh, that's a cool kid idea. I need to do that with my kids, okay? But when these rabbis, when they get to the point where they're starting to be Talmudim, they're starting to be disciples, okay? We'll say grad school. These rabbis will come in with the Torahs, and they will get out the wax papers and the honey bears, and they'll tell them to dip their finger in the honey and taste it, and that is how sweet God is, okay? For adults, okay? So it's not just a kid thing. It's a reminder for all of us, okay? Has the honey made it all the way around? Getting close? Okay, everybody. Okay, now, if you haven't eaten it already, okay? All right, I want you to take out your Bible. I want you to take out your phone. Open up the Bible app, okay? Set the wax paper on top of it, okay? If you don't have one, you can share it with somebody beside you, okay? All right, I want you to, now that you've got that honey, okay, I want you to take your little finger, I want you to dip it in the honey, and I want you to taste that honey. And when you taste that honey, I want you to know that is what God tastes like. And don't ever forget it. Okay, so that next time that you taste that honey, I hope it gives you a taste in your soul that you want to open God's Word, because that's how sweet His Word is to our mouth, okay? All right, now I've lost you for the next 5 minutes, but, okay? So that's what God tastes like. Okay, honey. All right, so how's that going to help us, okay, in our walk in life? If God tastes like honey, and we know how sweet that honey is and refreshing that it can be, should pass out wet wipes. Okay, but let's think about those paths in life. Okay, all of us are walking down the path of life. And on that path, okay, there's rocks. Okay, some of us have little rocks, okay, that we stub our toe on, and, you know, we say things, I hope the kids aren't around. You stub your toe, there's these little rocks. Okay, some of us have pretty good-sized boulders, and we don't know how to do them, but we can manage walking over them or climbing around them. Some of us, where we're at right now, there's just a boulder sitting in the middle of our path, and we don't know what to do with that huge rock. God, I can't go any further. I don't know how to get around this. God, are you even here to help me? So we've all got these rocks on our path. Listen to the Psalm 81. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would come to subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before Him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. There is enough of God in every single rock that He's going to give you just enough to get through that rock and to take the next step. Think about in your life, the times that you were closest to God, most often than not, is when you're going through those tough times and you get through it. That's when you feel closest to God. And it's because God is honey in the rock. He's there in those terrible things. We think He's not with us, but He's there. And once we make it through that trial, once we make it through that tough thing, once we somehow manage to lift that boulder away, God is there, and that honey is there to satisfy us. Okay, the Rabbi Akiba also said, he said, be careful when you pray for honey, because you have to understand where He might put it. When we pray for God to give us comfort, to take away things in our life that we don't understand, that we can't manage, that we're struggling with, okay, know that more often than not, He's not going to just plunk us down in a foot full of grass and say thank you. And then when we're done, we don't need Him anymore. God loves it when we're in a place when we depend on Him completely. And the way that He does that is, as our shepherd, He leads us in green pastures from one rock to the next rock, getting grass. Or if we get that path, He'll give us the feet of the deer so that we can manage those paths, that whatever comes our way, we can run right over them like it's nothing, because God is with us and He's showing us the way. Or if we have those rocks and we need help getting through them, when we do, God's the honey in the rock. He's there to satisfy us. And so just know that sometimes when we pray for God to do the good things to give us comfort, just be careful, because sometimes that honey might be in a rock. But it's the things like that in life that make us stronger, that make us depend more on God. And I think that's what we all want more. So this morning, if you need to find some of that honey from the rock, we're here for you, and we can pray for you. We can do whatever you need. But if you need us, just come now as we sing this song.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. With numberless blessings each moment He crowned, and filled with His fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with